As the sun set, he remembered, to give himself more confidence, the time in the tavern at Casablanca when he had played the hand game with a great negro from Cienfuegos, who was the strongest man in the docks. They had gone one day and one night with their elbows on a chalk line on the table, with their forearms straight up and their hands gripped tight. Each one was trying to force the other's hand down onto the table. There was much betting, and people went in and out of the room under the kerosene lights. And he had looked at the arm and hand of the negro and at the negro's face. They changed the referees every 4 hours after the first eight, so that the referees could sleep. Blood came out from under the fingernails of both his and the negro's hand, and they looked each other in the eye and at their hands and forearms, and the bettors went in and out of the room and sat on high chairs against the wall and watched. The walls were painted bright blue and were of wood, and the lamps threw their shadows against them. The negro's shadow was huge, and it moved on the wall as the breeze moved the lamps. The odds would change back and forth all night, and they fed the negro rum and lighted cigarettes for him. Then the negro, after the rum, would try for a tremendous effort, and once he had the old man, who was not an old man then, but was Santiago El Campeón, nearly 3 inches off balance. But the old man had raised his hand up to dead even again. He was sure then that he had the negro, who was a fine man and a great athlete, beaten. And at daylight, when the bettors were asking that it be called a draw, and the referee was shaking his head, he had unleashed his effort and forced the hand of the negro down and down until it rested on the wood. The match had started on a Sunday morning and ended on a Monday morning. Many of the bettors had asked for a draw because they had to go to work in the docks loading sacks of sugar or at the Havana Coal Company. Otherwise, everyone would have wanted it to go to a finish. But he'd finished it anyway and before anyone had to go to work. For a long time after that, everyone had called him the champion, and there'd been a return match in the spring. But not much money was bet, and he'd won it quite easily since he'd broken the confidence of the negro from Cienfuegos in the first match. After that, he had a few matches, and then no more. He decided that he could beat anyone if he wanted to badly enough, and he decided that it was bad for his right hand for fishing. He had tried a few practice matches with his left hand, but his left hand had always been a traitor and would not do what he called on it to do, and he did not trust it. The sun will bake it out well now, he thought. It should not cramp on me again unless it gets too cold in the night. I wonder what this night will bring. An airplane passed overhead on its course to Miami, and he watched its shadow scaring up the schools of flying fish. With so much flying fish, there should be dolphin, he said. And leaned back in the line to see if it was possible to gain any on his fish. But he could not, and it stayed at the hardness and water-drop shivering that preceded breaking. The boat moved ahead slowly, and he watched the airplane until he could no longer see it. It must be very strange in an airplane, he thought. I wonder what the sea looks like from that height. They should be able to see the fish well if they do not fly too high. I would like to fly very slowly at 200 fathoms high and see the fish from above. In the turtle boats, I was in the cross trees of the masthead, and even at that height, I saw much. The dolphin looked greener from there. You can see their stripes and their purple spots, and you can see all of the school as they swim. Why is it that all the fast-moving fish of the dark current have purple backs and usually purple stripes or spots? The dolphin looks green, of course, because he is really golden. But when he comes to feed, truly hungry, purple stripes show on his sides as on a marlin. Can it be anger or the greater speed he makes that brings them out? Just before it was dark, as they passed a great island of sargasso weed that heaved and swung in the light sea as though the ocean were making love with something under a yellow blanket, his small line was taken by a dolphin. He saw it first when it jumped in the air, true gold in the last of the sun, and bending and flapping wildly in the air. It jumped again and again in the acrobatics of its fear, and he worked his way back to the stern, and crouching and holding the big line with his right hand and arm, he pulled the dolphin in with his left hand, stepping on the gained line each time with his bare left foot. When the fish was at the stern, plunging and cutting from side to side in desperation, the old man leaned over the stern and lifted the burnished gold fish with its purple spots over the stern. Its jaws were working convulsively in quick bites against the hook, and it pounded the bottom of the skiff with its long, flat body, its tail, and its head until he clubbed it across the shining golden head until it shivered and was still. The old man unhooked the fish, rebaited the line with another